Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. I've come to the conclusion that joy has many thieves. This week I had a refrigerator that went out, and this morning our hot water heater decided to stop working just before showers, which is actually just a bit better than coffee, I might add. But then there was this thing that happened a couple of weeks ago as I was coming home from church. I was feeling pretty good and things had gone well and I was feeling quite content. However, when I walked through the front door of my home, I saw this unbelievable scene because my Christmas tree that I had just decorated the day prior had fallen over and it looked like an explosion in an ornament factory. Do you know how big a 12-foot Christmas tree looks when it's laying across your coffee table and your couch? There was broken ornaments everywhere, and I decided at that moment that the people that make these ornaments fill them with compressed air, so when they hit the floor, they can blow as far as possible. If this were not enough, I also remembered that I had just filled the water reservoir that the tree sat in. So there was a water-soaked carpet underneath this mess. Any Christmas joy that I had prior to that moment had gone completely out the front door. So for the next couple of hours, I wrestled the tree back into place and I ran guy wires to the window frame so it would stay this time. And I soaked up water and I picked up glass and I vacuumed the floor. And then when Paula got home from choir practice, I want you to notice I did all that myself. She went and bought new ornaments, shatterproof ones this time, I might add. And we spent the rest of the afternoon decorating the tree again. So the Schultzes not only got to regift this year, we got to redecorate. Joy is a very fragile thing to most of us. It's as fragile as a delicate ornament. We all want our lives to be filled with joy, and we constantly work at it in hopes that one day we will finally obtain it. But it seems to be constantly elusive because our lives are constantly being interrupted by joy stealers. Things like my Christmas tree or much worse happen in our lives and suddenly our joy vanishes as quickly as a vapor. We begin to think that when we see others that are joyful, that they must have a mental disorder because there's no way anybody can be that happy. An old biographer by the name of Alexander White once wrote, "We have a tendency to hang very heavy weights on very thin wires." Meaning our happiness and joy is often suspended from something of very little substance. Sometimes our joy is suspended by our possessions, a home that we've always dreamed about, or a new car, or a little bit bigger boat, or a cozy little condo at the beach or at the mountains that we can go and finally relax and rest for a change. But all it takes is an economic recession, and snap, the wire breaks. We plan for our future. We invest emotionally in finally finishing school or getting the promotion that we have worked so very hard for or that perfect retirement scenario that we have dreamed about. And suddenly illness or a corporate downsizing or lack of finance sets that out of reach completely or at least delays our dreams. And again, the all-too-thin wire snaps. King Solomon, who the Bible calls the wisest as well as the richest man who ever lived, said this in Proverbs 23:5, "Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." And the prophet Haggai also wrote, "Be careful, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are never warm. You can earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. It seems in this day and age that no greater wisdom has ever been spoken. You never quite grasp the thing that finally brings you satisfaction and lasting joy, because nothing in this world seems to support the joy that your soul longs for. So what then should our joy be attached to? Every Christmas season, as far back as I can remember, as we read this story from Luke 2, there's one word that always stands out to me, and that's joy. And it's the word that the angels said to the shepherds when they said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people." And then it goes on to tell us what this good news of great joy is for everyone. It says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Now some of you, like me, are so used to hearing those words, it may be good to hear them restated slightly and rearranged in a different order for emphasis. Listen, the angel said, "I have good news. Today, a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, has been born in order to save you and give you great joy." Now, whether you're a shepherd in the first century or you're a businessman in the 21st century, on the surface, I don't see a baby lying in a manger being high on my list of things that would bring me great joy. Intriguing, yes. Motivating enough to desire more information, maybe. Fascinating enough to make go to church once a year, probably. But something that would bring us great joy, really? Yet even if we doubt the claim, even if we're suspect of what the angel said, that a newborn baby in a manger could give us great joy, we have to agree that it's one of two things. It's either true, or it's the biggest overstatement in history. But if it's true, maybe the reason we don't get it is because we have our joy suspended from the wrong wires. At first glance, it always seems more tangible that our joy should be attached to things. Something we can someday obtain if we just put enough effort into it and if we just work hard enough. But what if you didn't have to work for joy? What if joy was a gift? What if it was a gift of graciousness that was not only given to us in joy, but joy surrounded the giving of the gift as well? In light of this possibility, I want us to consider a couple of things this morning. First, let's look at the next couple of verses, starting at verse 13 and 14 in Luke 2. Look at verse 13. "And suddenly," now this happened right after the angels had made a declaration about this greatest joy, "and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on peace among men with whom He is well pleased.'" The first thing I want us to consider this morning is it is joy that gave us the gift. It is joy that gave us the gift. You notice immediately that after this announcement comes that claims that we now have access to this newborn baby who is to be our greatest joy, we are told that a multitude of angels congregated and began to praise God and give Him glory. Why did they do that? Because the giver of the gift was celebrating. Every Christmas, we gather around our Christmas trees on Christmas morning, and we begin to open gifts from one another. And without fail, there is always great delight when we open a gift that is something that we really wanted. And if that gift happens to also be something that we really needed as well, the joy of that gift is even more special. And because of this, we make an immediate connection with the giver of the gift. A huge smile, followed by a giant hug, and maybe even the question, how did you know that I needed this so much? To which the giver of the gift says, because I love you and I know you well. It's almost impossible to separate a wonderful gift from the one who loved you enough to give it. But the joy of that moment is not just one-sided. I want you to try something this coming Christmas when you open your gifts. Try this year not to watch the one that's opening it, but watch the one who gave it. Because you will notice that the one who is watching the person unwrap the gift has a big smile on their face in anticipation. Because meeting the needs of someone you love brings just as much, if not more, joy to the giver than it does to the receiver of the gift. Jesus said in Acts 20, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, there is more joy in giving than there is in receiving. The gift of Jesus Christ to the world meant that the great bit meant to bring joy to all people. But it also brought joy to God, the giver of the gift, as well. Because that gift was given to fulfill not only our greatest want, but it was given to fulfill our greatest need. Now, some of you may have never considered the fact that God receives joy when we receive His gifts, but He absolutely does. God is no different than any other father who gives gifts to his children. He loves them, and because of that, He knows their heart's desire. Matthew 7:9 says, or what man is there of you, if his son shall ask him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give you good things? The angels knew that God loved mankind so much that He would give them only the very best gift. So there was celebration of that gift that first Christmas morning, because both the giver as well as the one who received the gift would be absolutely delighted. You can never disassociate the gift from the giver, because it is out of joy that joyful gifts are given. God's love and knowledge of our needs is so complete that when He gives us a gift and we receive it, all of heaven rejoices. The second thing I want us to consider is that joy is what draws us to the gift. It is joy that draws us to the gift. If you look back and read verse 12 again, you will see that the angel said there will be a sign that was going to be given to the shepherds. And a sign was given in order to prove that what the angel had said was true. Now, because directly after this statement regarding a sign, we read, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger, we often think that's the only sign. But when we get to Bethlehem, and when they do get to Bethlehem, clearly there was a baby in a manger wrapped in cloths, just as the angel told them. But what sign or what display was given that compelled them to go to Bethlehem to see if this was true? What sign were they given that would be motivating enough for them to have them drop everything and compel them to go and verify what they were told? Now, I must admit that an angel, if he came and talked to me, that would be somewhat compelling, because it doesn't happen every day. But you also have to admit, if there suddenly, after that announcement, there broke out a heavenly celebration involving a multitude of angels, meaning an enormous amount of angels giving glory to God after the announcement, you would immediately want to get on your donkey and go to Bethlehem. And in fact, that's exactly what they did. Verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight," meaning immediately. Let's go without delay. Let's drop everything and go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Now, sometimes we read those verses as a bit matter of fact. You know, the angels went straight to Bethlehem to see the thing that happened, and they went him in a hurry and found the Messiah. But if you read it correctly, you will see that they were so blown away by the celebration of joy that they dropped everything and rushed to see what in the world could cause this much celebration. And it had to make them wonder what could be so great about this gift that their heavenly Father and the family of angels were so excited they could hardly contain themselves in celebration even before the gift was opened. It was, and it still is, the joy of heaven that draws us to come and discover God's Son. God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God is with us. The last thing we want to look at this morning, it is joy that the gift gives. It is joy that the gift gives. So the shepherds dropped everything that was previously important to them, and they head to Bethlehem to find this promise of great joy. And when they get there, they find exactly what the angel had told them. There was a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And during the hours that they were there, there was an exchange of information. The angel had told the shepherds was conveyed to Mary, and what the angel had told Mary 9 months prior was told to the shepherds. They were told that Mary would be a virgin and she would conceive and bear a son. That they were told that they were to name him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. That his kingdom would never end. And he would be called the Son of the Most High God. What an enlightening and delightful discussion that must have been. And we are told that Mary treasured them because she considered them valuable as she hid them in her heart. It was wonderful news that was exchanged that night. But what of the shepherds? It seems now that they have one of two choices. They can either walk away thinking that all this talk of joy is the greatest overstatement they have ever heard, or they can believe that this baby is exactly what the angel of God said he was, the Savior of the world. Look at verse 20 with me, would you? The shepherds went back. In other words, after they had had this discussion, after they had seen the baby that was compelled to them as they were to go from this myriad of angels that was celebrating, the shepherds went back. And what were they doing? Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. You see, joy gave them the gift. Joy drew them to the gift. And joy is now experienced when they believed in the gift. Joy is not something that we earn. Joy is not something that we live our life constantly working for. It can only be obtained through a gift. And because of that, joy can never be experienced without grace. The very word grace implies the removal of a burden. Joy is something you receive when the burden is completely removed and your work is done and you can finally rest and enjoy. But let me remind you, anything short of eternal joy is very thin wires. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the gift of love that was given through grace, meaning it was love that was given without expecting anything in return. John 3:16 starts with, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." Why did He do that? Because He knew that His Son, if we received Him, would satisfy our greatest need. All of our efforts of trying to achieve status with God by ridding ourselves of our own sin, by our own effort, would finally cease. God sent His own Son, Jesus, to do all the work of the forgiveness of our sins on the cross, thereby fulfilling our greatest need and filling our hearts with joy by allowing us to rest in His work alone. Joy in heaven did not end that first Christmas. In fact, it was joy that led Jesus to the cross. Imagine that. Joy in death. Because now mankind could be reconciled to God through a perfect sacrifice, allowing us to once again have an intimate relationship with God that we were all made to have. Hebrews 12:2-3 says this, listen, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus Himself endured the cross. Why? In the pursuit of joy. Because He knew that we would never be perfected without it. He gave us the gift of His death so that we could no longer hang on to the thin wires of our own efforts, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. And when we respond in faith, we read in Luke 15:10, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." Meaning, the celebration in heaven continues to this day. So how is it that we who have received the gift should now live? The term regifting that this message is titled around comes from the concept of taking a gift that was given to you and then repackaging it for the purpose of giving it to another. And the idea behind regifting grace is to share the grace that God has given us to those who God has placed around us. As we have seen, giving the gift of grace brought great joy to heaven, and it is the same joy we receive when we pass it along. It could be something as simple and easy as meeting the physical needs of someone you know, such as a gift card from a supermarket that will allow them to buy groceries if they don't have enough, or to make sure that their children have a couple of presents to open on Christmas morning. It can be, and it should be, the gift of forgiveness toward others who may have offended us or hurt us. To give to others the same forgiveness that we receive from God. I want you to think about this. If God celebrated in joy when He forgave us, the same joy is waiting for us if we obey Him by following His example and forgiving others. And finally, it can be the greatest gift of all, the one that makes all of heaven come to life with celebration. It can be the sharing of the good news of great joy to those who are still in desperate need of a Savior. When you think about it, this message of joy to all men, this message of our greatest joy that the angels gave the shepherds that night, that message that filled the night sky with joy and celebration, may in fact be the greatest understatement ever known to man. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this wonderful story that has been given to us and sustained through time, that reminds us of a baby that You sent to earth to become the Savior of the world. Father, as we sit here this morning, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, many of us that are here have received that gift. And Lord, I pray that if we have, that we will consider it all joy as we give the gift that You have given to us to others. And Lord, for those that have never received the gift, may they understand that the gift was given to them in great delight by You, that they can, by the wonderful gift of grace, be celebrating with You for all eternity if they would just surrender and believe and have faith in the gift that You gave. Lord, I pray that this Christmas would be the most wonderful Christmas of great joy to those that have never received You by giving their life to You at this moment. And Lord, we ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen.